What do you do? You have a translation here? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Om Ganat Mirandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shigure Namaha. So, we offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master's divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes and everyone's eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while we were blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, today we have an initiation ceremony. So, there's different types of initiation, but before we start talking about different types of initiation, we should ask, you know, why would someone take initiation, or even the bigger question, why would someone join the Hare Krishna movement? You know, what's the reason? Why is someone crazy enough to join it? The Hare Krishna? Not really. So you have to have a reason for doing something like this. And there are many different reasons why people come to Krishna consciousness. Actually, Krishna in the Gita, he gives four basic reasons. He says, Chaturvada Vajantimam, that's Sanskrit means four types of people come to him. One type of person comes to Krishna. Now, if you don't know who Krishna is, you're in the wrong place. But anyways, so Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's the name of God. And people go to Krishna because they're in distress. People come to Krishna because they're looking for knowledge. People come to Krishna because they're inquisitive. What's it all about? I think some of you may have come here this Sunday because you're just like trying to figure out, hey, what are those Hare Krishnas up to? We saw them dancing on the street, and they look really happy, so what do they believe? And then people also come because they want money. So don't have much money here, so if you came for that reason, you know, head out. So anyway, people come to Krishna for various reasons. And ultimately, when one comes to Krishna for whatever reason they're coming to Krishna for, they transcend those reasons and actually remain in Krishna consciousness because they become happy. I mean, everybody wants to be happy, right? Does anyone here not want to be happy? Raise your hand if you want to be depressed. No. Everybody, almost everybody, likes to be happy. And what happens in Krishna consciousness, if you become Krishna conscious, you can become unlimitedly happy at every minute of the day, 24/7. I mean, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Because you've actually realized your nature different than what we call the body. I mean, all of us are walking around with a body, hopefully. Hopefully we're walking around. Or whatever, even if we're not walking around, we all have a physical or material body. And our nature is different from that. So we're trying to satisfy this body or this mind, not understanding that our real nature is different than the body and the mind. So when one comes to Krishna consciousness, one understands what one's real nature is and then satisfies the real nature. So then, regardless of the external circumstances such as one getting sick or things happening in this world, losing money or whatever, one remains happy. Because the happiness is within. And that happiness comes from something called bhakti. Now, bhakti, loosely translated... She's going to sit. Yeah. So, loosely translated, bhakti means devotion or love. And this devotion or love is actually the only thing that can really satisfy ourselves. All of us have a loving propensity. And that loving propensity becomes frustrated when we invest it in things of this world. Like if you invest your loving propensity in your mobile phone, it's kind of frustrating, like most people do. So we're meant to invest our loving propensity in such a way that it can expand unlimitedly. And that only takes place in relationship to Krishna and people associated with Krishna. And so the way to do that is to practice Krishna consciousness. So ultimately, when people come to Krishna consciousness for any of the four reasons that I mentioned before, they become happy. And when they become happy, they want to share their happiness with others. So this is really the meaning of this initiation today, this which we call Brahman initiation. Now, Brahman is very interesting. It means someone who understands Brahman. Now, Brahman means spirit. So, Lalita Sundari is taking initiation in this Brahman initiation because she understands, to a certain extent, Brahman or Krishna. And this initiation is part or required for someone who wants to share their happiness with others, to share Krishna consciousness with others. In other words, it's like someone who becomes a priest, someone who becomes a minister, someone who becomes a teacher. In fact, she is a teacher in school. And so this is actually the meaning. Someone who has understood Krishna consciousness, already gone through what we call the first initiation. First initiation is kind of simple. It's chanting Hare Krishna, following the four regulator principles, no meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. He said it quickly so no one got scared. So, you know, if I dwell on the four regular principles, it will be too much for many people. But following the certain principles, chanting the names of Krishna, and Krishna is not different from his name, and basically acquiring knowledge so that Krishna consciousness can be shared. And so that's what a Brahman is. And a Brahman is not simply someone who acquires knowledge and shares knowledge, but someone who is what we call an acharya. The word acharya in Sanskrit means one who acts nicely. And also there's another word called prachar, which means speaking, or pracharya, one who speaks nicely. So both qualities are extremely important. So we're going to describe what the qualities of behavior are necessary for someone to represent Krishna consciousness and present it to others. And Krishna consciousness is open to everyone. We are not a sexist movement or a racist movement or a nationalist movement or a political movement. What else? Did they leave anything out? No. It's open to everyone. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated that if someone actually knows the science of Krishna, kiva vipra, kiva nyashi, shudra kena noi, ye Krishna tatvaveta, se guru hoy, that person can become a guru, regardless of their background. Whether they're from an educated class, rich class, men, women, whatever race, if they know Krishna consciousness, they can become guru. So this Brahman initiation is actually saying that you should become a guru. And of course you can't sit here, there's no room. But a guru in the sense that Lord Chaitanya intended guru to be. What did Lord Chaitanya intend for guru to do? Yare deka tare gar krishnupadesh, mare gar guru hoy, tore desh. To bring others to Krishna consciousness. That's really the point. You know, people have this conception of guru and they think it's someone very proud like me, you know, sits on a chair and just like blesses everybody. You know, people come to me all the time, give me your blessings. Okay, blessings. Some people think a blessing is a high five, but that's a different thing. So, but a guru is someone who is heavy with knowledge. And that's open to everybody. To bring people, like if you're heavy with knowledge, just like in if you're studying astronomy, if you have a very heavy planet, it has a lot of gravity to it, right? And it can attract others. Just like my spiritual master's divine grace Srila Prabhupada. He was heavy with knowledge, heavy with devotion, and just by his presence, he attracted millions of people to Krishna consciousness. Just one person coming from India with no resources, no money, no friends or anything like that, alone. And then he started a whole society, and now everybody all around the world can chant the holy name. The holy name is heard in every corner of the world by Srila Prabhupada's potency, by Srila Prabhupada's actions. So that's what guru means. Actually, everyone, Lord Chaitanya wanted everyone to become a guru. And the method, of course, is to follow the bhakti process, which she has been following. So the qualities that a guru or a Brahmin has, Brahmin and guru to me are pretty much synonymous, isn't it? As far as I understand, if someone knows Brahman, that's what the definition of Brahman is, then that person has as their responsibility to share their knowledge. If someone doesn't share knowledge, knowledge that can help people, knowledge that can save people from losing their position, even as human beings, because we believe in reincarnation, then that person is not a Brahmin, and that person is not a guru. That person is what we call a kripana. Kripana means someone who's miserly. Like if someone has a lot of money and you see people starving around you, you're miserly. And if someone has a lot of knowledge and the ability to help others, that person is miserly. So, the qualities that one has, and then I'll describe how one gets the qualities, are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Samam Dhamak Dapaksho Cham Shanti Rajvameva Cha Ganapikam Nastikam Brahma Karma Sabhavajama. And for those of you who don't know Sanskrit, I will translate. The qualities, the first quality is Sama. Sama means being equal poised. In fact, this is Krishna's first lesson in the Bhagavad Gita. It says, Mantra Sparshas Dakantiya Sitoshna Sukhadivita. One has to become equipoise, both in happiness and distress, pleasure and pain, summer and winter seasons, all these different dualities of this world. Now, that's very hard, become equipoised in this world. And the only way to become equipoised is to be absorbed in something transcendental, to actually not be absorbed in the things of this world, but to have a higher transcendental goal in life. So, sama, and then dhamma. Dhamma means controlled or sense-controlled. Normally in this world, we're being pulled from one place to another by our senses. That's called adandagopya in Sanskrit, which means uncontrolled senses. And somehow or other, we're meant to control our senses. How do we control our senses? By engaging them in Krishna's service. We eat Krishna prasadam, we dance for Krishna, we Savaimana Krishna Padaravindaya. We focus our mind on Krishna consciousness. So it's actually easy. Krishna consciousness, or the process of Krishna consciousness, is not some like dry process. A dry process would be you have to sit in a monastery all day long or in the Himalayas all day long and meditate on your navel. That's pretty dry. I tried that before I joined the Hare Krishna movement, in fact. I used to go to the forest and just chant Om for hours and hours and hours. And I got pretty bored doing that. So in Krishna consciousness, we have activities that are so amazingly pleasurable and that absorb the mind. And these activities are in accordance with one's nature. You can do almost anything for Krishna. You can cook for Krishna, you can speak for Krishna, you can, I guess you can play soccer for Krishna if you wanted to. You can, I mean, there's so many things you can do for Krishna, as well as chanting Hare Krishna. So it's just an amazing life, and you eat prasadam, your healthy diet. I mean, it's just perfect. I mean, I've been practicing Krishna consciousness now since, when is that, 1970. It's a long time, isn't it? Yeah, 50. It's my 50th anniversary. So, and it gets better all the time. I'm not bored. Every day is like a new experience, especially dealing with disciples. That's a joke. Anyway, so every day is a new experience in Krishna consciousness. Chanting becomes more and more pleasurable. Imagine chanting the same mantra song for 50 years. You'd probably be locked up in a mental institution if you had to do that. But I'm chanting the same thing for 50 years. That gets better all the time. And eating the same prasadam. Of course, every day it's cooked fresh. It's not the same prasadam. And so, Kevala Nandakanda, it's always better and better and better. So, Dhamma, that's how we control the senses. And then we think, you know, what is pleasing to Krishna, what is not pleasing to Krishna, and everything's done out of love, too. It's not done out of following some rules and regulations. But it's done because you want to please Krishna and you love Krishna. And why do we love Krishna? Because he's lovable. Krishna's the most attractive person, the most beautiful person, or attractive, handsome, whatever. And Krishna is the strongest person. Krishna's the most intelligent person. Krishna's the most famous person. He's the most renowned person. I mean, he has all the good qualities rolled into one. And so, how can you not love him? So, Dhamma, tapa basically means a little bit of austerity. Austerity means doing things that make you happy. Krishna consciousness. Shocham, cleanliness. Actually, Prabhupada, when he was giving initiation, Brahman initiation people, he said that one of the synonyms of being a Brahman is clean. And of course, we know in the Western world, we've heard cleanliness is next to godliness. So if you have a clean mind or clean heart, then you also stay clean externally. So, and then other qualities like tolerance and cultivating knowledge and practicing knowledge, practicing what you preach, so to speak. And so these are the qualities of a Brahman. And that's Brahman initiation. So basically, what's a quick and easy method to become transcendental, become on that platform where you can realize all those qualities? The quick and easy method recommended in the Shastras is to serve those who are already Krishna conscious. And I'll tell you an interesting story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita of someone who realized that. And by realizing that and being practical in that regard, he got some special mercy. This is the story of someone named Kalidas. He wasn't a devotee of Kali, don't worry. That's something different. His name was Kalidas. And he wanted the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna who appeared over 500 years ago. And he wanted to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, especially he wanted to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy by drinking this may be shocking, foot bathing water of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because that may be shocking to some of you. How could you drink the foot bathing water? But when you have God, you'd probably be a good idea to drink his foot bathing water. It's very powerful substance. And also, taking the foot bathing water of great pure devotees is a very powerful substance. So this devotee, Kalidas, he took it as his service, as his activity, to serve all the people, all the Vaishnavas in the place where he lived, which was actually in Mayapur, near Mayapur and Navadvip area in India. And he didn't distinguish between who was a Brahmin. Like in India, of course, let's explain this. In India, there's this caste system. And the caste system was not what Krishna wants, is not what we're talking about today. The caste system was based upon wherever or however or whatever family you're born in, then you're considered to be of a certain nature. And you're sort of fixed for life. It's a very bad system, this caste system. And some of you may have heard about this. So at that time in India, people were, let's say, discriminated against others based upon this particular concept of caste. But this devotee, he understood that, first of all, that devotees, or everybody, is not their caste, or not their body, so to speak. That's the first principle of Krishna consciousness. That everybody is a spirit soul with Krishna in the heart. So he decided to serve everybody in Navadvipa, especially the devotees. And he went around not only serving them, but he would bring food to them and eat whatever they left over. Normally we don't eat people's leftovers. But if you eat the leftovers of someone who is a great devotee, it's a very powerful substance. Leftovers or the foot dust or the foot bathing water. I mean, in the Western world it appears a little strange when you talk about these things. But this is something that's very transcendental. For example, when I was young, I would go for walks with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada... Whoops. Symptoms of ecstasy. New devotee. So I would go for walks... I would go for walks with Srila Prabhupada on the beach. And sometimes I'd walk behind Prabhupada, and I would grab the sand from his footprints and put it in my mouth. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Sounds like these people are members of a cult. Oh, God, what are you talking about? But there's something very special about these great personalities. I'm not suggesting you go around and you do that with everybody. Of course, you'll probably become really humble if you do that, but still... With great personalities, they are imbuing every aspect of their being with what we call the Bhakti Lata Bij. This is very interesting. Bhakti Lata Bij means a seed of a creeper of devotion. What that means is that we, when we come in contact with a great personality, a great pure devotee like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, just by the contact, we get bhakti or devotion within our hearts. It grows. And by the cultivation process, it grows even more. I mean, I had that experience, getting back to my own history. When I first came in contact with Prabhupada, I wasn't physically in contact with Prabhupada. I came in contact with Prabhupada when I was listening to the radio. I was trying to hear the Beatles or something. And Srila Prabhupada's chanting came on the radio. And as soon as I heard Srila Prabhupada chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, my whole existence changed. I lost interest in material things. And eventually, you know, I ended up where I am today. Quite dangerous. So don't hear from Prabhupada, please, because you'll end up like this, and then God knows what else will happen. So, anyway, it's not that everybody ends up dressed in saffron, you know, with a bald head. We have devotees with hair here. Probably some with beards, too. So, but my life changed. So this devotee, getting back to the story, Kalidas, he decided to go around and serve all the Vaishnavas to get their mercy. And basically, there was one devotee he served, his name was Jadu Thakur. He offered him, him and his wife, a mango. And this devotee ate the mango. He was from what was considered at that time a lower caste, a lower class. And Kalidas waited outside their house until they had taken the mango, sucked on the pit and the skin, and he took it and he sucked on it too. That appears a little unusual, but because he had so much faith and love for those who had devotion, then he got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was able to drink the foot bathing water of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the temple in Jagannath Puri. So that's the secret. And actually in the Bhagavatam there's many verses like that. Bhagavatam is one of our books. Mahatseva Mahura Vimuktes. By serving a great devotee, and you don't have to drink their foot bathing water if you have trouble with that. By service to a great devotee, Mahatseva Mahura Vimuktes, one gets Krishna consciousness. One gets that Bhakti Lata Bij. And by chanting, the Bhakti Lata Bij, the creeper of devotion, or the seed of devotion, grows and finally pierces the covering of the material world and enters into the spiritual realm. And that's how one becomes Krishna conscious. It's a very easy process. So today we are requesting Rita Sundari, she's taking second initiation to dedicate her life, and not saying that she will become a sannyasi, don't worry about that one. But dedicate her life to somehow or other bringing other people to Krishna consciousness. And that's will satisfy Krishna. Krishna Gita says that no one is more dear to me than that person who teaches the Bhagavad Gita, who teaches others about Krishna consciousness, because that is real compassion. That is real mercy. So that's second initiation, and that's all I had to say about second initiation. And of course, having second initiation, one gets something called the Gayatri Mantra. The Gayatri Mantra, which we'll give you later, is a mantra that helps one come to the mode of goodness. Yes, I should mention the mode of goodness. And the mode of goodness, in this material world, there's three modes of nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And the mode of goodness is like the doorway to the spiritual realm. Passion is born of unlimited desires, and ignorance, I think you can understand what ignorance is. Ignorance is you don't do anything. It's just procrastination, putting off for tomorrow what you can do today. But in goodness, you actually are able to perceive, to begin to perceive the spiritual reality. So it's important to cultivate the mode of goodness. And Brahmana is definitely in the mode of goodness. And so, that's the Brahmana. And the Gayatri Mantra is meant to be chanted by those in the mode of goodness and helps connect one to Krishna consciousness and the spiritual master and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. So now we can continue. So unless someone has some questions about anything I said, some clarification or questions, anybody? I know some of you may be here for the first time, so there's devotees who can answer your questions later on. And it's not that Lalita Sundari will be moving in the temple or anything like that. She has a normal life. She's a teacher, you know, so don't get scared that if you come to Krishna consciousness, because you remain in whatever lifestyle you have. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised the devotees, Stani Stata Shruti Katam Tan Van Manobir. Just remain where you are and add the chanting of Hare Krishna, and also become a guru and help other people understand Krishna consciousness. Help people understand that there is a goal of human life. And that goal is God realization. To understand who you actually are, your real spiritual identity. So, okay, thank you very much. So now you can continue with the fire portion.
Hari ki om sahana avatu sahana bhunatu